Acts chapter 27 this morning, the Word of God. Acts chapter number 27. That blood that was spilt 2,000 years ago has never lost 1 ounce of power. Acts 27 this morning. The Lord put this message on my heart really even before all that's taking place this week, but it ties right in, so we can go with it. You'll see what I'm talking about in a minute. Look with me. We'll start in verse 13, and we'll read down through several verses. For a second time, we'll read the whole chapter, but we will read quite a bit of it. Verse number 13 of Acts, chapter number 27. If you're there, say amen. Bible says, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was called and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. Running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. The third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And I exhort you to be of good cheer, and for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms, and when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern, which for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from your head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer. They also took some meat. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we love you this morning. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. We thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, the encouragement, power, and strength there is in it. I pray this morning you'd help us to rightly divide it. I pray, Lord, that you would cleanse me of my sin, empty me of self. God, fill me with your spirit. I pray that, Lord, you would do a work in the hearts of the people that only you can do. Lord, be with my stammering lips of clay. And I pray this morning, Lord, that this message, through it, that you would provide for us help, that you would provide for us insight, that you would provide for us some encouragement. Lord, if there one be here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, they don't know that heaven's their home, all we sung about this morning. I pray, Lord, this be that day they'd come forward and get saved. Whatever your will may be, I pray we'd be, Lord, obedient to it. For it's in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Here in our text this morning, Paul, of course, is on his way to Rome by ship. He's a prisoner as he's in this ship with many other prisoners. They're sailing to Italy, and of course, Paul has been arrested. He's been mistreated. He's been abused. And in the midst of all that, Paul has appealed to the higher courts. He's appealed to the Caesar of Rome. So he's getting his trip to Rome, and as they're heading to Italy there on their voyage, they find themselves here in this great storm. The Bible tells us there's 276 people on board this ship, including the shipmen, including the sailors, and including the prisoners, all of them together equal about 276 people. And they're here in this ship on this voyage heading to Rome, and they find themselves in a storm. Of course, they loose from Crete against Paul's advice and didn't listen to him, and they find themselves in one of the most destructive storms in their life. In fact, this is one of the greatest storms, if not the greatest storm, recorded in all the Word of God. And I want you to understand something this morning. God puts the details of this storm here in Scripture, I believe, to help you and I navigate when our storms arise in our life. Now, both of us, all of us, have experienced some storms here lately. Amen? We know all about the storm, all about the physical storms of life. But I want you to understand something this morning, is the reality is every single person on the sound of my voice, not only those physical storms, but spiritually speaking, has faced storms, will face storms, and in fact, you might just be facing a storm right now in your life. The Bible tells us that man that's born of woman's a few days and full of trouble. And if you live very long, you already know that that's true. And the truth is, as Christians, I'm glad that this is still the best life that you'll ever live, is to live a life for God and as a child of God and living for His purpose and for His plan. But the reality is this morning is, as Christians, we still go through heartache sometimes. As Christians, we still shed tears and we still face difficulties. And as we live in this fallen world, the reality is that sometimes the road gets rough. Sometimes a storm begins to rage in our life, and sometimes we face difficulties. And as we live in this fallen world, it's not perfect. Sometimes there's going to be things that come against. I'm glad that while weeping may endure for the night, joy cometh in the morning. Amen. I'm glad for those most encouraging words, five words in the Bible, and it came to pass. Aren't you glad that storms don't, listen, the sun, eventually the clouds are going to break and the wind's going to cease and the rain's going to stop and the sun's going to shine through and eventually things are going to be all right. I'm glad that weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. But the reality is this morning, and the thing that we don't like to think about, and the thing that we don't like to admit, is every single one of us is just one little accident away from the deepest, darkest, dreadful, most dreadful valley we've ever been in our life. Every one of us is simply one phone call away from the most gigantic trial, from the greatest tragedy, and from the most gut-wrenching information and things revealed to us that we never wanted to hear. Maybe a loved one has cancer. There's a family member that's been in an accident. A son has went out to pasture and is out there in rebellion. A spouse has been unfaithful. A child has been fallen deathly sick. Some bills come due you can't pay. Whatever the case is, all of us have before, will again, and maybe even now face storms. It's just the part of life that we live in. And since it's something that we all have faced and especially will face at some point, then it's important that we and I know how to survive the storm. It's important that we know what to do in the midst of storm and how to deal with it. I want to draw your attention back to verse number 29 this morning. The Bible says, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. I'm interested in that little phrase in verse number 29. It says this, they cast four anchors. For the next few moments, I want to preach on this thought, four anchors that'll hold you in the storm. Four anchors that'll hold you in the storm. Any boat, that's any kind of boat out there on the water today, it has anchors to help stabilize it when the storm comes. And aren't you glad as we sail through this life that God has given us some things we can hold on to? Listen, when we face the storms, when we face the trials, when we face the troubles, when we face that thing that we don't know what to do, I'm glad God has given us some things that we can hold on to. And they can be an anchor to us in the time and in the midst of our storm. He's put some things in our life as Christians to hold us and help us to be able to weather the storm. We begin to look at this message and think about some anchors that will hold us in time of storm. I want you to notice the first one with me here. Notice the anchor of fasting. The anchor of fasting. Notice with me here in verse number 21. Look at it. He says, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. How do you think he knew that? Notice again in verse 21, it says, but after long abstinence. Abstinence, it means he was abstaining from food. It's a time where you go and you spend without eating. And not only was Paul abstaining from food, but Paul was spending that time in the throne room of God. He was spending that time getting a hold of God. Can I just say this to you this morning? The reason that so many times it seems that the Lord never shows up in our storm, and he never delivers us in the storm, and he's never there in the storm, many times, it's because we never ask him. We talk about prayer and we ask people to pray for us, but let's just be honest this morning. How many times do we really pray for the situation? I'm talking about, notice the Bible says after long abstinence, Paul didn't just whisper some Mickey Mouse prayer. This wasn't just simply, Lord, I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. Oh, no, but Paul, don't you understand this? While everything they knew to do, and they were fighting that bow, and they were fighting the ropes, and they're manning the pumps, Paul was wrestling with God. And can I tell you something? You'll be a whole lot more effective wrestling with God than you'll ever be wrestling and doing anything else trying to figure it out on your own. Oh yes, the anchor of fasting. Let me tell you something, friend. If you're going to make it through the storm, If you're going to know how to weather the storm when the winds of change rock your world, when your life becomes flooded with problem after problem, heartache after heartache, tears after tears, when the ship you're on begins to be pulled apart piece by piece, such as what happened in this case, and when that thing is hammering you one time after another, that's not the time to ask other people their opinion. That's not the time to lean to your own understanding. That's not the time to try and figure it out in your own ability. Listen to me, but when you're facing something that's a whole lot bigger than you are, the only thing to do in a situation like that is to take it to a God that's bigger than it is. That's the only thing that we can do sometimes in the midst of the storm. The anchor of fasting. Well, if you're going to have learned how to survive the storm, then you're going to have to learn who to go to in the midst of the storm. Look with me at verse number 20 this morning. When neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. Well, it sounds like what we've been living. And no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. No sun, moon, or stars for 14 days. Buddy, this was a storm. I'm talking about, listen, this was a dark time in Paul's life. Day after day, you get up. How many of you know something about it? You get up and you just wonder why in the world you even got up. Why don't you just stay in the bed? And just darkness and doom and gloom every single day. Notice the morale. He says, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. What do you do at a time like this? Oh, you better fall on your face and cry out to God and ask God to help you navigate and ask God to help you survive the storm. Look with me here at verse number 21. Again, starting there, after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not loose from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer. There shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Oh, where ship's going to be destroyed, you're going to be saved. For there stood by me this night the angel of God whose I am and whom I serve. Man, I feel like preaching. Woo! Paul said. Holy Ghost just nudged me right there. For there stood by me this night. You see that? For there stood by me this night the angel of God. You ever been there? Oh, listen, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, said, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. Lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. There stood by me this night. Oh, listen, I want to tell you something. the place you want to go to, if you want some help through the storm and you want somebody to be with you in the storm, Paul says in another place, he says, talking about, he's at the end of his life and he's looking back on some things in his life. He talks about a time, he says, "All forsook me, I pray it be not laid to their charge, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." Aren't you glad when nobody else will stand with you, God will stand with you and be right there beside you. Oh, even in the storm, I'm talking about in a time where you're staring death in the face, cry out to God. Wasn't just but a few months ago, I remember, Miss Laura, you remember, you were up there a little after that. Brother Steve, you were up there. Brother Fred there in the hospital, and he was there just on his final days. And I remember going up there, and I was up there late a couple different nights. And one particular night, and I know he told you all the same thing another time, I think, but one particular night I was there, and he began to tell me, he said, now, preacher, he wasn't out of his mind. He wasn't crazy. He began to tell me that, he said, preacher, I'm going to tell you this. He said, I'm not nuts. I know what I'm talking about. He said, I was here. He said, I was afraid. He'd get fearful at night. And that's one of the reasons why I try to go at night. So just try to help him sleep during the night, go up and pray with him. And he said, man, I just was nervous and I was afraid. And he said, preacher, I'm going to tell you something that happened. He says, right over there in that corner, you know what I'm talking about. He said, right over there in that corner, he said, there's a light that showed up. He said, there was a silhouette of a person. In fact, I asked the nurses later, did you come in at this time or were you there? And he said, I'm going to tell you this. I'm not nuts. I know what I'm talking about. He said, there was something showed up over there in that corner. And it, hallelujah. It stood by there all night and it never left my side. Oh, I remember sitting by, whoo, I remember standing by the bedside of old brother Charlie just before he died, and he's sitting there. And he's literally like he's sitting in front of the throne of God, and he's talking to his friends, and he's talking to his wife. Oh, he wasn't out of his mind. You say, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. Paul said, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Listen to me, friend. No matter how bad your storm may be, no matter how dire the outlook may be, even when you're staring death in the face, cry out to God. Fasting's what will help you in time of storm. Got to pray. Oh, look, not only the anchor of fasting, I got to move on. Notice secondly, the anchor of faith. The anchor of faith. Look at verse number 25 again. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Watch this. Y'all to circle it. For I believe God. Can I say something to you? Somebody is just simply going to have to say, I believe God. Listen, when you get in a storm, you're not going to be able to figure it out on your own. You're always not going to know where God's taking you or what God's doing through the storm. And sometimes all we can do is say, look, I don't see it. I don't understand it. I don't even like it. But I believe God. He says, I believe God. Notice what he says. It shall be even as it was told me. In Romans, Paul said, verse number chapter 4, he's talking about Abraham and Sarah there. He's looking back. He says this, talking about Abraham, he says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Then he said this, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and I love this, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God had promised, he was able to perform. Can I tell you what we need to be this morning? We need to be fully persuaded that God's still God. We need to be fully persuaded that God's going to do what God said he was going to do. The Bible says Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God, but he was fully persuaded that God was going to do what God said he was going to do. In verse number 25, look at it again. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, I believe God. And then watch what he says, that it shall be even as it was told me. In other words, Paul said, sirs, I believe it's going to be just exactly like God said it was going to be. I believe it's going to work out just like he said it's going to work out. I believe it's going to happen just like he said it was going to happen. I believe God's going to deliver me just like he said he's going to deliver me. I believe God's going to show up in my storm just like he said he'd show up in my storm. And I believe everything's going to turn all right, out all right, because God said it is. Child of God, you listen to me this morning. God's faithful. Oh, yes. He's faithful. Listen, you can trust what he said. I don't know what you might be going through this morning or facing. I don't know what the storm is, but I'll tell you this. You can be certain and you can be sure that God's going to do just what he said he's going to do. It might be a financial struggle that you're facing. And buddy, I can tell you so many times how God has shown up in our life. Listen, he's already promised, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, the psalmist said, I've been young, now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Let me tell you something, God's going to meet your needs. Maybe it's a physical problem that you're going through, something, and the doctors don't have the answer, and the medicine's not the answer, and none of those stuff has been the answer. Listen to me, it's something that you're dealing with. Paul went through that thorn in the flesh. He cried out to God 3 times. I believe this. Got to do one of 2 things with your physical situation, your physical problem. He'll either heal you or he'll give you the grace to live with it. He said this to Paul. Paul cried out 3 times. My grace is sufficient for thee. Watch this. He said, in fact, Paul, let me tell you something else. He said, my strength. I'm having a good time. I don't know if y'all getting this, but this helped me. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Amen. He said, my strength, Paul said, oh, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Oh, he said, listen, Paul, you're stripped so many times, we want to ask God to take away the storm. We want to ask God to take away the trial. Ask God to take away the problem. Take away this predicament and this persecution and situation. And too many times, what we don't understand is that's where the power of God lies in our life. And that's what God uses in our life to work on us. Let me tell you what he said to Paul. He said, Paul, I'm not going to change your situation. Now watch this. But he said, Paul, I'm going to change you. I'm about to run. And Paul, if I change you, your situation won't matter anymore. Glory to God. Oh, listen. He said, look, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. My grace is sufficient for thee. Oh, listen, we got to have faith and cast the anchor of faith. We can boldly say, even if we're staring death and it's sick unto death, we can have the boldness to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Aren't you glad about that, child of God? I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. Why? Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Listen, child of God, whatever it is this morning that you're going through, a financial, physical, or emotional problem, whatever it is, maybe it's the loss of a loved one this morning and somebody you're missing, and it seems like you're all alone, and it seems like you're treading the water alone, and it seems like no one knows and no one cares. He's promised to never leave you nor forsake you. The Bible says this, the Lord's nigh unto them with a broken heart. Oh, yes. He's nigh unto them. The Bible says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Whatever you're carrying, Thessalonians 4:13 tells us, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall sustain thee. You can stand and proclaim the promises of God and say what Paul said, I believe even as he told me. That's what Paul said. I believe he's going to protect me just like he said. I believe he's going to provide for me just like he said. I believe he's going to give me the power to overcome just like he said. I believe that his presence will go with me just like he said. I believe his peace is going to comfort me just like he said. Oh, what a blessing it is in the midst of the storm to be able to stand and honestly say, I believe God. That's what Paul said. And when we begin to exercise our faith, watch this. Something that's amazing. I've watched God do this. When we begin to exercise our faith in him And when we begin to show Him that we believe that He's going to do what He said and that He's able to do what He said, and when we begin to take action and we begin to take steps toward showing our faith in God, so watch this, something happens in the heart of God. I don't know what it is, but there's something that happens in the heart of God that makes Him want to prove Himself to us even more when He sees our faith. Nahum 1:7 says this, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him." He knows if you got faith in Him or not. He knows if you're leaning on Him or not. He knows what anchor you've cast or you haven't. Oh yes, God delights in us having faith in Him. Listen, remember, without faith it's still impossible to please Him. That means when we exercise faith, that means God must be pleased with that. And I believe it causes Him to show up for us even more. Heard a story about a pastor out in Texas. Had a 5-year-old little girl by the name of Melody Jan. Melody came to him one day and she says, "Dad, will you build me a dollhouse?" Talking about one outside. He's reading a book when she came and asked him that. And he just nodded his head, "Yes, honey, I'll build you a dollhouse." He went back to reading his book. A few minutes later, he looked up again just to rest his eyes from reading the book, happened to glance out the window, and he seen little Melody out there, and she had in her arms all kinds of the little dishes that kids will play with, and she had all kinds of toys and dolls, and she's carrying them out there and piling them up in the yard. And so the preacher looked at his wife and he says, What's little Melody doing?" His wife said, "Oh," said, "you promised her," said, "she asked you if you'd build her a dollhouse, and you promised her you would," and said, "in fact, she believed you, and so she's just getting ready for it." Amen? See, she put feet to her faith. The preacher said this. He said, "Buddy, you'd have thought an atomic bomb would have went off in my house, in my mind." He said, "I threw that book down. I went out to the lumber yard." He said, "I got the materials I needed to build that little girl a dollhouse and do what I told her I'd do." And he says, "I didn't do it because I wanted to." He said, "I didn't do it because she deserved it." But he said, "I responded because of the fact that I was her father, and she was my child, and she believed it, and because she believed it, I acted upon it. When I saw her faith, there was nothing that could keep me from doing what I said." Hallelujah. Listen, when God sees our faith in His Word, when God sees our faith we have in His promises, and when God sees the faith that we have in what He's told us, there's nothing that can keep Him from doing what He said that He's going to do and showing up in our storm. Numbers 23:19 says this, "God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? Certainly He will. He's a God that cannot and will not lie." You're here this morning in a storm. I'm going to tell you what to do. Get up from hunkering down in the bottom of that boat. Get out on the deck and get a hold of that anchor of faith and cast it out in the sea of God's grace and God's goodness. And you just see if it won't hold you. Time of storm. One day John Wesley was walking with a man that he was struggling with many things, had a lot of trials and storms and troubles going on in his life, and in fact he was even questioning God and the goodness of God. Mr. Wesley's trying to figure out kind of what to say to him to help him, and finally he happened to look over and see a cow that was looking over a stone wall. Mr. Wesley said to his friend, he said, "You know why that cow is looking over that stone wall?" Man said, "I don't have any idea." "What's this?" He said, "'Cause he can't see through it." You know what we need to do sometimes? We need to look past that problem. We need to look past that predicament. We need to look past that storm and look and keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. You ain't gonna be able to see through it, but I'm glad He sees the other side of the storm when all we can see is the rain. Aren't you glad He sees the rainbow when all we see is the storm? And God's a God that sees and knows what's going on. Let's just look to Him in our time of storm. The anchor of fasting. the anchor of faith. And then we got the anchor of faithfulness. Look a bit at verse 31. I tell you, if you don't learn how to cast the anchor of faith, you're going to drown in the sea of doubt. Look with me at verse number 31, talking about faithfulness. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Now watch this. Talking about faithfulness. Here they are out in the middle of the ocean, out in the middle of the sea. The winds gut whipping, tempestuous wind. Your rock line comes on, got time to go into all what the storm was. It was a big storm. The water's raging. They're out here, and the seamen, the soldiers are about to jump ship. They're letting down the lifeboat, and they're fixing to jump into it. And I want you to think about this. They're fixing to get out of this big ship. Watch this. Because this is what we do. They're fixing to get out of this big ship. And they're fixing to get down this little lifeboat. That really is, it's a little dinghy, is what it is. It's nothing more than a raft, almost. It's not much of a boat at all. And they're fixing to climb out of the big ship, and they're fixing to get down here in this little raft, and they think that their chances, are actually better in the little boat. The little raft, the little lifeboat. And that's exactly what happens to many of us. The storm comes, and well, we get all messed up and confused, and we begin to look out there at the lifeboat. We begin to look out there at the life preserver, and the storm hits. And we try to figure out some other way. Maybe that life preserver is a bank account. Maybe that life preserver is a credit card. We're going to fix the problem, right? Still waiting on God. Maybe it's some person that's been trying to get you to go to the things of the world, and this will fix and this will help when things get rough. Maybe you begin to think, well, maybe they do have the answer. Maybe their way is best. Some people turn to a bottle of pills. Some people turn to a bottle of booze. Some people turn to medication, any other thing to escape reality. And sadly, some people leave their family and they try to run from their problems. Whatever lifeboat it is, watch this, it's always smaller than the ship they're already on. Always smaller. Who knows that the greatest ship that you could ever be in is the old ship of Zion. And what we better do, friend, is just stay on it until we get to glory. What happens so many times in a storm, we begin to look out there at that lifeboat. We think that's the answer. That's what will fix our problem. And even though it's much smaller and even though it's much more vulnerable still, we think maybe that's what will work. And after all this church stuff isn't working, look at me, I'm in this problem. God never said you wouldn't have problems. He just promised he'd be with you through the problem. After all, this God stuff isn't working, this church stuff isn't working, this prayer stuff isn't working, and we can't see, watch this, that there's a wonderful will of God and a wonderful divine plan of God on the other side of the storm. I wish I had time. If you'd study this out, you'd find out that Paul had a great ministry waiting on him in Mileta. God used him in a great and a miraculous way, but if he'd ever got off the ship, he'd have never made it to that. And we want God to deliver us and take us from the storm. And when he don't, so many times we just jump ship ourselves. The storm begins to rage and we look out there and think we're better off anywhere but here. I've seen it over and over. In all the chaos of the storm, we become confused and many times we make a rational decision. Who knows, we don't make the best decision when the storm's going. Storm's raging. Jump ship, thinking of a family right now. Can I just say the safest place you'll ever be in a storm is the place where God's put you. The ship God's placed you on. Think of a family right now, and man, the storm hit. I'm talking about the mama came up and began to have medical problems. Then the 7-year-old boy began to have medical problems. Family, and they were in, they'd been faithful. It's a horrible thing, and of course, we prayed with them. We tried to encourage them, did all we could, thinking about them. Before you know it, they were gone. The last time I seen, the dad dropped in on Wednesday night, and it's just one of those messages on Wednesday night. It wasn't a typical Bible study. It was more of a message kind of like this, just how God had it. I don't know why I was even given that message, but he just happened to show up that night and helped him, and he just wept through the whole thing and talked about how much of an encouragement it was, how much he needed this place, and but he got caught up in the storm and he jumped ship. You don't know how many times that's happened and people become overwhelmed. And usually we don't make the best decision. Notice with me verse 31 and verse 32 again. Paul said this centurion to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Watch verse 32. Then the soldiers, watch this, cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Let me tell you what we need to do, child of God. Watch this. We need to cut loose the lifeboat. We need to get rid of any opportunity to save us outside of God saving us. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about in the storm. We need to get rid of those opportunities. You need to cut up that credit card and let God do it. You need to get rid of that bottle of pills and let God do it. You need to get rid of whatever that doctor's telling you. I'm not talking about don't go. I'm saying, listen, so many times when we're leaning on something else, I'm saying let God have His way in our life, and we need to get rid of any opportunity that we have to abandon the ship. We need to adopt a quitting is not an option policy. Amen. Doesn't even cross our mind. Abandoning ship shouldn't even cross our mind, because don't you ever forget, watch this, don't you ever forget, child of God, who's piloting the ship. I won't sail those stormy seas no more unless Jesus leads the way. I won't ever get so far from the shore. I can't hear what He has to say. I belong to a King. Hallelujah. Jesus pilots my ship. We need to remember who's at the helm of the ship. The anchor of faithfulness. And then lastly, notice. Four anchors we got to cast. Fourth one, the anchor of friends. Look at me at verse number 33. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from your head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. He was a godly friend. And when he had broken it, he began to, to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. Paul became a friend of these people. They were soldiers. They were people really over him, many of them, the seamen, and they were taking him to play. He's just a prisoner. But he befriended them. Did you know God specifically puts people in our lives to help us through trials? No doubt about it. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, the Bible says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to them, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. I still remember going through one of the toughest times in our life when we stepped out into ministry and didn't know what it was all going to mean and all going to consist of. And I remember how so many people encouraged me and so many friends reached out to me and during that time with an encouraging word, a kind gesture, a helping hand. I've never forgotten it. I will say this, allow those friends, those people that are trying to help you, to help you. Don't push them away. And cry. Listen, God never intended for us to be hermits over in the corner somewhere. He says, bear you one of those burdens. Don't push them away. Those friends, those, by the way, make sure it's godly friends. It's helping you in the Lord. Paul was a godly friend. We could definitely see that. And he, in fact, prayed in front of them, trying to encourage them. Let those friends help you. That's why the Lord put them there. Romans 1:12 says this, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Good friends going to encourage you in the Lord. The mutual faith both of you and me. You understand we have this common salvation. We understand the things of God, and so there's this kindred spirit that we have together, and so together we lean on the Lord together. We bear one another's burdens together, and we go through the storm together. There's a kindred spirit there. Listen, there's nobody out in this world can help you, first of all, like the Lord, but secondly, like a child of God. They understand that spirit's bearing witness with our spirit, and we're all children of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Oh yes, God puts people in our lives. I know He does. He puts people in our life to help us and encourage us in those times when we're overwhelmed and we can't even, to the point we can't even help ourselves. Four anchors to cast in time of storm. want you to notice with me verse number 40. We're going to read down to the end. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, loosed the rudder bands, and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart struck fast and remained unmovable. The hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. The soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it come to pass that they escaped all save to land. I can't promise you that you're not going to come floating through the storm on some pieces of the ship. Sometimes it might be that we just come through on some broken pieces, but God said, I'll bring you through. Notice what the Bible says again in verse 44. It says, and all, see that, they escaped all save to land. God's faithful. You see, if we're going to make it in the time of storm, God's given us some anchors, the anchor of fasting. You're going to have to cry out to God and ask God to help you through the storm. The anchor of faith. Listen, there's a reason that the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. If you can see it, it's not faith. If you can figure it out, it's not faith. If you know the way it's going to work out, it's not faith. We walk by faith. The Christian life's a life of faith. And God wants us, child of God, to live by faith and to trust Him in faith and in faithfulness. I'm going to be honest with you. Listen to me. There are so many times where just situations, circumstances, whatever the case is, something's hitting you, something's bombarding your mind. Well, the only thing that I know to do is to stay faithful. Nothing makes sense. I don't know where God's taking me. I don't know what God's doing. I have no idea how this is going to turn out. And it doesn't even seem like God's even in the thing. But all I know to do is be faithful. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Keep reading your Bible. Keep praying. Keep serving God. Keep doing the things God's told us to do, because God's taking us somewhere. We don't know. We can't see it. But He's doing something. And then the anchor of friends. He says all of them escaped. Who else, Christian, is not going to make it if you give up? You know why they made it? Because there was one man on that boat that said, I believe God. Yeah. Let's stand for prayer this morning. These were just a bunch of prisoners and convicts and filthy sailors, yet they were all saved because one Christian knew the anchors to cast in the midst of the storm. He cast that anchor of fasting. He asked the anchor of faith, faithfulness, and friends. What anchor do you need to cast today? God's already showed you.